Legendary Crooks. Narrated by Paul Spera. The Enron Scandal. Water in the gas. An American company specializing in the production and transportation of gas, Enron was founded in 1985 by Kenneth Lay, a former member of the Reagan administration and friend to Republican Party heavyweights like Bush, father and son. In the 1990s, deregulation of the energy market led Enron to become an energy broker. The company offered complex financial products to its clients, and it was a period of intense trading. Carried away in its momentum, the firm expanded into raw materials and telecommunication by selling bandwidth, for example. Between 1995 and 2000, its turnover increased from $10 to $100 billion. At the turn of the millennium, Enron was one of the flagships of the American economy, with a huge market capitalization and the support of the financial market. Forbes magazine named it the most innovative company in the country 6 times. In February 2001, Kenneth Lay remained president, but left the general management of the company to Jeffrey Skilling. But only 6 months later, Skilling left the company in turn, causing Enron's share price to fall by 18%. In October, the company announced a quarterly deficit, the first in over 4 years. Following bad investments and the bursting of the internet bubble, the share value had fallen, but since it was used as a guarantee in various financial arrangements, the banks wanted the repayment of several loans, and Enron was forced to display these shares in its balance sheets. Then the nightmare really begins for Enron. The U.S. stock market regulator opens an investigation on October 22nd. The company announces a loss of $1.2 billion in equity following various transactions of two private companies whose creator is none other than the CFO of Enron, Andrew Fasto. The very next day, Fasto is fired. To save itself from this hell, the company tries to buy a competitor for about 10% of its value a few months earlier. But the withdrawal of the banks and the downgrading of its rating by the rating agencies quickly puts an end to the takeover attempt. As soon as the takeover bid is withdrawn, Enron's rating, already very low, falls drastically. On December 2, 2001, the company declares bankruptcy, the largest in U.S. history. In the weeks that follow, the hearings multiply, and in January 2002, the Department of Justice officially opens an investigation, bringing to light a scandal that will go down in history. It comes out that the company performing the audit of Enron during the investigation by the Securities and Exchange Commission destroyed nearly 2 tons of sensitive documents. It was covering up Enron's misdeeds. Enron, who was also its main client, in a textbook case of conflict of interest. Then, the investigation reveals that Enron carried out several frauds in California around the purchase and sale of electricity. Finally, it is brought to light that about 30 executives of the company were involved in insider trading, including Kenneth Lay himself, selling hundreds of millions of dollars worth of shares since 1998, and especially in the months preceding the bankruptcy at the end of the year 2001. More generally, Enron was a master in the art of accounting fraud, inflating its profits and hiding its losses, thanks, for example, to the use of more than 2,000 shell companies based in tax havens. The trial initiates a series of reforms in corporate governance, the board and audit community, and the banking system. Unfortunately, history will show that the lessons were not learned. In the end, 15 Enron executives, including Skilling, Fasto, and Lay, are convicted of fraud, conspiracy, money laundering, and misrepresentation. The latter died of a heart attack before the verdict. He faced up to 160 years in prison. Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.